Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
I am going to talk about pretty much exactly what all of y'all think I'm going to talk about, because some of you have already reached out to me on Twitter about this. Yes, I kind of was the engineer of the George Pickens hype train for a long time, and I really like what I saw from him on Saturday, and you better believe that we're going to address that in full measure. I also kind of beat you over the head a good bit last week with the whole idea of aggressive plays on defense being important. Maybe didn't see as much of that as I would have liked, or maybe you didn't see as much as you would have liked against Vanderbilt. There were more of that on Saturday against the Racers of Murray State, albeit an overmatched opponent. So we're going to talk about both of those things a pretty good bit here today, staying very much on brand as a part of Dog Nation Daily. But let me begin it this way. Have you ever heard the phrase that it's hard to prove a negative? Have you ever heard that saying before? And what this means is, and I hate to go this way, but this is kind of where it's usually used. If your wife is dead, it's sort of hard to prove you didn't kill her. It's a lot easier to prove that someone, beyond a reasonable doubt, did kill someone than it is to provide definitive proof something didn't happen. It's just hard to prove a negative. That's kind of the reason why our court system is sort of set up the way it is. You have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that someone did do something, and that person doesn't have to do anything. That person, their legal counsel, can just say, hey, listen, you didn't make your case. We feel like we ought to go scot-free, and that's kind of the way the legal system is designed. However, I think the sports world kind of works the opposite. I think in the world of sports, it's actually fairly easy to prove a negative, and it's sometimes far more difficult to prove the positive. What I mean is we can look after a couple of weeks in the college football season, and we have some negatives that are determined. The Pac-12 is likely not going to have a representative in the college football playoff. Ugly performance by Oregon. Ugly performance by Washington. You know, this is a conference right now. I shouldn't say that Oregon's performance against Auburn was ugly, but they lost the game after leading for most of the time. We've kind of proven that negative that, once again, the Pac-12 is probably not going to have a playoff representative. Tennessee's a mess. They are not a legitimate contender in the SEC East after losing two games to lowly opponents. We don't know who the four national championship contenders are that are going to make the college football playoff. And we don't, as of yet, know who the best team in the country is, but we can start eliminating some of them that are not. We have proven a few negatives around the sport. With that in mind, after 2 weeks, the fact that we have not identified quite as many negatives yet for Georgia, I think overall is kind of a good thing. And I was saying this to our video audience a moment ago, that after a couple of weeks here of watching Georgia on the road at Vanderbilt in Sanford Stadium on Saturday against Murray State, for the most part, I'm kind of satisfied with what I've seen. And some people are going to say, well, yeah, BA, it's still Murray State, it's still the Racers, this is still an FCS foe, and Georgia was a 50-point favorite. I get all of that. You have to grade on a curve. And yet, even grading on a curve, I kind of feel like we're seeing some things from Georgia that we haven't seen a lot in the Kirby Smart era. Some of the things that Georgia did on this particular Saturday, they couldn't have done or certainly didn't do to virtually any opponent over the last couple of years. Let me start on the offensive side of the ball, and let me start with wide receiver George Pickens. And yes, I have believed and I have spoken and I have preached and I have gone on and on and on about how important it is for Georgia to have a big-time playmaking wide receiver. Not just a guy who might make an NFL roster, but the kind of guy who could eventually be taken in the first round overall. That has been a very big deal to me, and George Pickens on Saturday had the look of being that guy. The diving catch that he makes, he finds his way into the end zone. This is a guy who just kind of has that look of maybe being able to do something pretty impressive. And to see him on Saturday getting a chance to exploit all that talent in front of the Sanford Stadium crowd, it was a pretty big deal for me. And it's the kind of thing Georgia just really hasn't had. Not to this level, not to this caliber, at least the potential that Pickens brings to the table. In fact, after the game on Saturday, Georgia quarterback Jake Fromm, in speaking with the media, had this to say about that leaping full extension catch that Pickens made that led to a touchdown being scored not too long after that. Here is Fromm on his feelings on Pickens. Take a listen to this.
I was impressed by that Pickens catch as everybody else was.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. That was awesome to see.
What does he bring to the offense, Jake?
Yep. Explosiveness. He's a big-time guy. He's a really good player, really good kid, and he needs to clean up some of the little things, you know, some of the little details, and we're talking to him about that, and it's awesome, but I think he has a tremendous potential, and I hope he can go out and play better next week.
So Fromm says he needs to clean up some of the little things. Apparently that was an issue. You may have seen late in the game, there's the moment where he gets shoved out of bounds and kind of tosses the football back in the direction of one of the Murray State players. Apparently that was a little bit of a deal, so much so that you heard Fromm bring it up there, and Kirby Smart, when he was kind of asked to kind of give the glowing review of Pickens' breakout performance, he also kind of mentioned some of the same stuff. A little bit of a weird audio on Kirby here, but you should be able to make this out. Kirby, being asked about Pickens, kind of echoed some of the same things that Fromm said of, there are a couple of things we're still getting him to work on, even though he obviously dazzled with the catches that he made. And by the way, another compliment coming Pickens' way from Smart here too. Here is Smart on George Pickens.
George has stepped up and begun to, he's starting to become an overall player, meaning probably the most impressive thing he did today was a block on DeAndre Swift's long run. He did a great job going down and digging the safety out and sprung Swift. And when you can do that as a freshman, that's more impressive to me than not than catching the ball. He's grown as a player. He's got to learn to control his emotions a little bit. He's very emotional. He's a passionate player. I don't ever want to take that away from him because I think that is what makes him who he is. But he's got to be smart and play within our system and understand that just because you make a play, you can't talk to the opponent.
All right, two things here I want to address with Kirby talking about Pickens right there. First of all, one of the things that I think potentially makes Pickens so valuable to Georgia and potentially as valuable as any of the five stars that Georgia has signed since Kirby Smart has been here, and goodness knows there has been a galaxy of them over the course of the last couple of seasons, is it's rare enough to find a receiver who has the skill set and the talent that Pickens brings to the table. But to have that player, and Pickens has that talent, he is that look of the Jerry Judys and the Justin Rosses and the wide receivers who've you know been amazing for some of these college football playoff and national championship teams the last couple of years. Pickens has the same kind of look when it comes to his overall talent and skill set. But to have that guy also, and I don't take this as coach speak, I think that Kirby Smart's being accurate when he says this, to have that guy also have the kind of mentality to buy in to what Georgia asks of its receivers, I just think that's a pretty impressive package. And I don't have to tell you that not every receiver in the country that dreams of catching footballs and dreams of getting glory and dreams of having their face shown on TV all the time, not every receiver in this country, not every five-star that's come up out of the woodworks over the last couple of years is going to be able to step in and fill in and do and earn that kind of praise from Kirby that Pickens just earned there. This gives him a chance to not only be the missing piece of the Georgia offense. Georgia needs a deep threat. Georgia needs someone to help extend the defense vertically and blow the top off a defense. But you don't want to do that at the sacrifice of what this program believes. It's sort of closely held beliefs, and apparently when it comes to Pickens, you're not going to have to do any of that. But let me also deal with the other part of what Fromm said there for a moment. He's got some stuff to clean up. Kirby Smart says he's an emotional player who needs to not let his emotion get the best of him when he's out there in the football field. I want to be very clear about something here. That, for me, is not a concern at all. I am not the least bit worried about that whatsoever. And the reason why is because when it comes to being a coach, and at this level, I obviously don't know what it's like to be a coach, but I certainly understand the idea of working with people and motivating people and getting the most and the best out of people. That's something that I feel like I know a pretty good bit about. And energy is a big part of the success quotient for any organization, for a college football team, for a business, for a school, for just whatever. The kind of energy that's in place. And I believe that when it comes to a guy like Pickens, or really any situation, it's a lot easier to channel energy than it is to conjure energy. In other words, take a lethargic person who doesn't have a hot temper or doesn't have an emotional bone in their body. It's hard to get that person to show the energy that they need to show. Whereas for someone maybe in Pickens' case, who, as Kirby Smart said, maybe a little emotional in the football field sometimes, as Jake Fromm said, maybe a little bit to clean up, I'll take that any day of the week. I'll take someone who's got energy, maybe channeled in the wrong direction sometimes, more than someone who just doesn't have the requisite energy to truly succeed. That's one of the reasons why I think Georgia fans ought to feel pretty excited about the situation with the offense. It was only Murray State, I get that, but Dogs have now scored 60-plus points in their last two regular season non-conference home games. All of a sudden, for this offense, who, a lot of Georgia fans want to say, can it establish that extra dimension that it needs to truly compete alongside the Clemsons and the Alabamas and the teams that expect to play in the college football playoff? The presence of George Pickens through two games, targeted a lot on the road at Vanderbilt, a part of the game plan in a big way against Murray State on Saturday. The presence of Pickens here, I think, is a potential foreshadowing that when the games start to truly matter in November and December and maybe even into January, the Dogs may truly have the kind of offense that gives them a chance to go toe-to-toe with the Alabamas and the Clemsons of the world. And it's this kind of recruiting of a five-star wide receiver that might eventually and indeed make all that happen. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Hello to you, and thanks for being with us live on video today, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. We're on the radio at noon, of course, as well, on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and we're available as a podcast wherever you find your podcasts, including the world-famous DogNation.com. Really glad to have you on a part of our program today. Let me do one quick housekeeping update, and I know I've gotten some Twitter messages on this in the last couple of days, and I apologize. So Dog Nation Express, obviously it's still just as sold out as it ever was, and we've been in kind of a little bit of a holding pattern when it comes to the waiting list on this. We've got triple digits on the waiting list. A lot of you are saying, BA, we're going to hear something about this. So here's what I can tell you, and for those who maybe haven't been listening every day for a while, what Dog Nation Express is going to be is a big-time kind of luxury experience tailgate in Athens on Saturday, September 21st. You guys know the big game that's taking place in the Classic City there that day. We have a whole busload full of folks leaving from the Atlanta area kind of early afternoon, like around noon or so, and getting into Athens, long day of tailgating, motor coach transportation on the way back to Atlanta after the game's over. It's going to be an incredible time, and as we predicted, it sold out in like 2 seconds. Well, a lot of folks said, well, what about waiting lists? What about other opportunities? What can we do here? And I know that we're kind of still in that holding pattern on that, but the good news is it sounds like we may have some resolution on kind of how many more people we can fit into this by the end of the day today. There's a lot of logistics to go into this. I'm really glad that's not my job. I'm really glad that's not what I do for a living. My job is just to have fun with all of you. So I'm thankful for that today. But hopefully by tomorrow's show, for those of you who are on the waiting list, I can tell you the next step on all this. And maybe by the time you and I speak again, maybe you've even heard from some of our Dog Nation staff as we get ready for Dog Nation Express coming up on Saturday, September 21st. One of the biggest events we're going to do all year long. It's going to be a gigantic luxury tailgate experience. I'm just really excited about the whole thing, and I hope to be able to fit in as many of you into this as I possibly can. You know, I'm going to push for it to be as big as possible, but we got a couple of logistical things we got to work with to kind of get that to occur. All right, I'm going to talk to John Stinchcomb here in a moment. Before we get to that, let me go around the doghouse, brought to you today by our friends at Pella Window and Door. And I told you off the top that I feel like after 2 weeks, George is kind of on schedule. I like what I saw from the offense on Saturday. I'm not that worried about the slow start necessarily. Defensively, I was really excited by what I saw. What was it? 6 sacks, 11 tackles for loss overall. And obviously there's that voice in your head, and you know, probably some of our non-Georgia viewers and listeners who tune into Dog Nation Daily saying, oh, BA, you better not be making too much out of a game against Murray State in terms of the, you know, the pass rush being better. But here's the thing, and longtime Georgia fans will know this. Really, when it comes to getting in the backfield and wreaking so-called havoc, Georgia hasn't been doing that against any foe the last couple of years. So those numbers kind of matter to me a little bit, even if it came against a lowly opponent, and the fact that so much of it was generated by young players, whether it be redshirt freshman Aziz Ojulari, true freshman Nolan Smith playing for the first time in a real game there in Sanford Stadium, duly fielded Sanford Stadium now. That was something I thought that was kind of fun to watch, and I think an important next step for Georgia. In fact, Ojulari had this to say about what he thought Nolan Smith and his sack and a half and everything else that he was doing there on the field that day. He had a chance to talk about what he thought that brought to the UGA defense. Here's Aziz on that.
Oh, yeah, they're bringing the energy and the juice. Man, those boys come in, they work hard every week. So it was just like them coming out here, just seeing them play, they bring that energy, just hypes everybody else up, just gets us going. Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're bringing the energy.
So, yeah, that's good stuff there from Aziz Ojulari on that. Of course, J.R. Reed, a little bit more measured. He's been around for a while. He's going to be a little more calm with some of the things that he says. And he liked some of the pass rush stuff that he saw from Georgia. But as he says, there's always room for more. Here's J.R. Reed.
Man, you can always improve on havoc, man. But we did a good job. I'm pretty proud of the havoc plays. I think we left some out there that we can create and let happen. But, you know, we did a great job.
And if you're keeping track here, J.R. Reed maybe a little less excited than Aziz Ojulari. Kirby Smart maybe less excited than both of those guys, obviously referencing the opponent that Georgia played. Nonetheless, though, for me, it doesn't change the fact that I liked the pass rush that Georgia put on display. Here's what Kirby Smart had to say about it, though.
That's hard to judge. I don't know how many sacks statistically we ended up with. I'm not sure where it ended up, but I mean, obviously those guys were outmanned up front. They don't have the same caliber of guys to protect that other teams will play. But the game plan was to come in and play these guys a little different than some of the teams we've played like them in the past. You know, try to be aggressive and try to cover them and get up on them. They did a good job throwing and catching the ball. That's what they do for them. You know, throw and catch the ball. I thought our front was disruptive and controlled the run game. Tried to make it one-dimensional.
I mean, I'm reminded of what former NFL defensive end Chuck Smith said on our program last week, a guy who's coached up Nolan Smith on an individual basis and some others, when he said that he thinks that pass rush is a mentality, and that's the kind of mentality you have to have as a part of a program. And I think that Georgia put a more of a pass rushing mentality on display on Saturday, and I thought it was a pretty good thing to be able to see. So we'll see how it translates the rest of the season. But for 2 weeks, more explosive plays on offense, more aggressive plays on defense, even with a little bit of a slow start against the Racers. I'm pretty happy with what I've seen thus far. I'll be curious to see if Georgia fans feel the same way. It's Around the Doghouse here on Dog Nation Daily. It's brought to you by our friends at Pella Window and Door. You know, the Pella Window and Door of Georgia can help equip your house with energy-efficient windows and doors. They're family-owned and operated, and they're also a national company, so you really get the best of both worlds. The resources that come from a national company, but also backed by a local service, which is just a great, great deal. And speaking of great deals, you can also get this. 50% off qualifying installations or 0% APR for 48 months. That's through November 14th. A really, really good deal there. It's also Pella offers the best lifetime warranty, top-of-the-line equipment, and unparalleled expertise. A couple different ways for you to get in touch with our friends at Pella Window and Door. You can go to this website. It's PellaSoutheast.us. That's PellaSoutheast.us. Or you can give them a call in their Dunwoody showroom. The number is 404-445-2979. The number, once again, 404-445-2979. Pella Window and Door of Georgia, truly viewed to be the best. All right, we'll get John Stinchcomb coming up here in just a moment, but it's great to have you with us as a part of Dog Nation Daily. All right, so John is going to be here in just a little bit. We'll get him squared away and ready to rock and roll here. Also, a lot of your comments kind of rolling in here too a little bit. And as I said before, I am curious to find out, you know, are Georgia fans, are they okay with where this team is after a couple of weeks? For the most part, I kind of am. You know, a lot of folks would have liked to see Georgia keep its foot on the gas a little bit more last week against Vanderbilt, maybe come under the block a little faster against Murray State, and I get all of that, but I think there's a way to kind of micro-analyze a lot of these kinds of things, cluster of bad plays at the beginning of a game, cluster of bad plays near the end of a game, and kind of make a little more of that than it really is. For the most part, I think Georgia's actually in a pretty good spot here through 2 weeks, so we'll give you a chance to weigh in on that. For now, though, you want to hear from John Stinchcomb. Let's get ready to talk to him right now.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Great to have John Stinchcomb as part of Dog Nation Daily here today, and a lot we want to get into with John. And I guess, John, let me start with this, if you don't mind. First of all, hello to you. Hope you had a great weekend, and thanks for being a part of our program. And I want to hear from you on a number of subjects from the game, but one of the things you and I have had some interesting talks with the last couple times we've been together, whether it be the Marlowe's matchup this past Thursday or last week when you're on Dog Nation Daily, your thoughts about the offensive line. We saw kind of an interesting rotation on Saturday, Cade Mays playing a number of positions, one point in time even spelling Andrew Thomas at left guard. We saw Jamari Salyer get some action. We also saw this big offensive line against kind of an overmatched opponent. What did you make of kind of where this offensive line group is through two games here?
Well, what stood out to me first, and you mentioned it, is Cade Mays' versatility. His ability to play three different positions in the same game is impressive. Is an impressive feat. You know, he starts off as a guard, moves out to right tackle, finishes up at left tackle. That's a lot of mental capacity as much as physical ability. So that was impressive to see. I thought it was probably good to see Jamari Salyer out there, let him get some rep, and he'll learn from the tape. I mean, he made some mistakes early. I think it was only two series at the beginning of the game where he played until there was some mop-up duty towards the end with a variety of players that also got some reps, including some pretty sizable names that you have on recruiting at the beginning of the year. Xavier Truss comes to mind.
Yeah,
he got some tackle work. So across the board, you know, it's hard when you're playing an inferior opponent ability-wise to evaluate how they look, but it was a good performance overall.
I will say this in terms of the evaluation against the inferior opponent. One of the things that certainly seems true, once again, after seeing Georgia on Saturday, and it goes back to something that also you and I have talked about, is these opponents that Georgia plays, and even some of the better teams this is going to be true for, they're not just going to stand there and get mauled by the Georgia offensive line, right? They're going to try to find a way to counterbalance the best they can. Most teams can't match the size. Most teams can't even really match the overall talent level. So, therefore, you've got to be more of a stick-and-move quickness kind of response to that. And I do think some of the stuff we saw from Murray State, at times when its pass rush was effective, that's kind of the direction that teams are going to go. They're going to have to try to find a way to be a little quicker against a Georgia offensive line that once they, you know, get off their stance, get off the ball, then they're going to be looking to put you in the turf. Teams aren't just going to stand there and let themselves get planted by these Georgia offensive linemen, are they?
No. I think that's going to be a recurring theme throughout the season. Unless you get an opponent with a defensive front that can stand up to an average of 330 pounds. I mean, there's a reason why Georgia wants to lean on folks. They've got the horses up front to do that. But, you know, when you face an opponent that's moving and slanting the front, they're bringing pressure, they're going to catch you a couple times. But the flip side of that is you're going to catch them too. And when you find those seams, they're going to be bigger than than the opportunities you get when you're just playing more conventional defense of best versus best. So, you know, I think what you saw against Murray State, there was a couple times where they brought a pressure, they moved the front, and it caught Georgia in a little bit of a bad spot. But you also saw these huge seams that opened up when you're able to catch the defense in their movement. And you create a much bigger hole.
Yeah, absolutely. David Alford, watching our Facebook comment section, said when it comes to the overall evaluation of Georgia, he says we're going to know more after 4 weeks than we do after two. And obviously that's true because by then Georgia will have played Notre Dame. But we don't have the luxury of knowing that and how that game's going to play out now. But, John, as I said before you joined us, there are a lot of teams who've unfortunately found out some bad things about themselves. We don't know how good anyone is until we see them against better opponents. But in terms of knowing how bad you are, you can certainly find that out. And after 2 weeks, John, and I know it hasn't exactly been a murderer's row of competition, but I haven't seen all that much yet to, I think, that makes a Georgia fan feel like you ought to be panicking about anything. I mean, what is your overall evaluation of kind of where things stand with this team through 2 weeks?
I'm amazed at the depth. I think you've got a number of players that are capable and eligible to contribute. That's not always the case. Usually there's some separation when you get behind your number one guy. When you bring in that reserve, you can tell a difference. I think the platoon effect that you see on the defense, you look at the outside linebacker position, you look at the number of guys that have contributed, whether in the star position or slot, nickel defender, third safety. There's a number of guys that are rolling through. Defensive tackle, same thing. So across the board, there's a number of guys that seem ready. Nolan Smith, when he's coming in, he's a factor. When Ojolari and Anderson are on the field, they're factors. Jermaine Johnson, same thing. So it's just the depth stands out to me. Running back, wide receiver, just across the board, guys that are not just rolling in to get them experience down the road, but they're factors, and that's what jumps out early on. I think you still need to find a rhythm, find those 3-4 guys at the receiver position. You're identifying in those situations if it's third and long, if it's a 2-minute drill against a superior or equal opponent. Who you want rushing the passer, those kind of things.
Yeah, I want to talk to you more about rushing the passer in just a moment because I thought there were some interesting things to come out of that from Georgia on Saturday. First, though, let me tell you about my friends at Kroger. You know, pumpkin flavors are back at Kroger this fall, and I know we haven't quite had that fall weather outside yet, but you can start feeling like autumn inside your local Kroger. You can save on everything pumpkin-related, whether it be pumpkin spice coffee, pumpkin pies, even pumpkin-scented candles. You can get all that at a Kroger, and it'll be sure to kind of get you going and get you ready for the fall season that, from a weather standpoint, I promise we'll be here at some point in time, but you can at least start feeling like fall by checking out your local Kroger right now. So, John, once again, the caveat is, hey, it's the opponent, your FCS. Even Kirby Smart mentioned this in his post-game press conference. But the fact that Georgia, I think the overall number is, what, 6 sacks, 11 tackles for loss. John, Georgia just wasn't doing that against anyone the last couple of years. The fact that Azeez Ojulari is bringing this, Nolan Smith is bringing kind of, as Azeez said, some energy there in that regard, some juice, I think was the phrase that he used. This, to me, is a big improvement for Georgia, and obviously you hope it translates in the games that really matter, but it's at least a precursor of what might be to come, and to me it speaks to the upgraded level of talent that allows you to upgrade your overall level of stats as well. I was really excited as a fan to see Georgia spend as much time in the backfield as it did on Saturday, even if it was against an FCS opponent. That was a nice change for the better, from my mind, when it comes to what Georgia had been doing over the last couple of seasons. What did you make of all of that?
I agree. I think you have better talent across the board. I also think they were probing the fence a little bit to see how the players would react when they were more aggressive. The play calling on the defensive side, they brought a variety pack of pressures that I was almost a little surprised to see them unveil against Murray State. Usually those games just turn into a vanilla fest offensively and defensively where you don't show much, but I like the fact that they were bringing some dogs, which are pressures with the linebackers, and moving that defensive front just to put some pressure on that secondary to see if they could hold up in man situations, which is kind of what you saw with the 60-yard touchdown in the first half. Is you put your defensive back in a little bit of a pressure situation, and Murray State was able to exploit it. So overall, I liked it. I like the fact that you're stressing your players in these early game situations. And I left the game feeling really confident that you've got more playmakers on this defense than we've seen. I hate to put a number of years on it, but it's been quite a while since across the board you feel like you've got guys that can make plays when you need them to.
And I want to be very clear about my opinion on this, and not everyone's going to agree, and not everyone has to agree. But when it comes to what you point out, that there were a couple moments on Saturday where Murray State was able to have some success with passing plays because Georgia didn't really have any safety help, and one missed tackle turns into a big gain. I'm not telling you I'm fine with seeing a Murray State football player, you know, running down the field, but in terms of the trade-off for being a more aggressive defense, I'm fine with that there in that regard. There is a trade-off that comes with all this kind of stuff. It's the same way with the passing game as well. I'm fine with, you know, the fact that if you putting the ball in harm's way, if you're throwing deep down the field, you're going to have an occasional extra interception here and there. That's just the trade-off you make for being aggressive, but it's the appropriate trade to make because it's the team that pushes the issue on both sides of the ball that ultimately is going to win more times than not. So, you know, John, if against better competition, the recipe for Georgia's more of the same, a push to, you know, have more pass pressure that occasionally results in more big plays than Georgia allowed in 2018, when statistically speaking it was very good in that regard. That's a trade-off as a fan that I'm kind of fine with. As a former player, how do you see that?
Well, I think the more reps you get at something, the more discipline you have. So you understand where you're weak. When you're in a pressure situation, you're attacking an offense and trying to force them into making quick or bad decisions that give you an opportunity to make a play on the ball, which, you know, every defense wants the turnovers and create more opportunities for their offense. They just have to know where their weakness is when you do that. I mean, the conventional wisdom is, you know, a vanilla defense is a safe defense. It's a slow burn, if you will. When you take those chances, you're sacrificing some of the soundness of the positions that you're in and the bubble layers of protection that you're providing for your players. And that's fine, but when you're aggressive and you get these reps like you do against Murray State of being more aggressive in the play calling, that's great reps for them. They see that, you know, if you're covering a slot and they're running a slant route and you don't have over-the-top help, you got to, you're in a pretty tough spot, and you have to be aware of that. So I agree. I think that's going to be reps that pay off down the future when you're not able or choose not to just go toe-to-toe and run, you know, your base man cover two behind it stuff against some of the teams that you want to be more aggressive against.
Let me do a couple quick things, and we'll get ready to let you go. I'm not going to do anything to throw water on the George Pickens hype after the game on Saturday. John, for months, and really for years prior to that, I was talking about Georgia's need to find itself that kind of potential first-round style, a five-star style wide receiver. I just think that's the game changer in the modern game. Clemson's had those guys. Alabama's had those guys. With all due respect to the guys that have been here for Georgia, Georgia also needed one of those guys of its own. I already thought Pickens could be that guy. And then you go ahead and find out that he's also a willing blocker, that he's the kind of guy that brings a tenacity to the receiver position that we usually reserve for guys who play other positions. I just have been really pleased with what I've seen from Pickens through 2 weeks. No catches against Vanderbilt, but they targeted him plenty, which means that he must be performing pretty well in practice. And then he showed off his prodigious athleticism against Murray State on Saturday. To me, this is an exciting player on a team full of talented, exciting skill players. You know, Pickens, I don't think, takes a backseat to anybody right now. What'd you make of what you saw from George?
Yeah. Buddy, I saw the exact same thing that you did, in that he's living up to the hype. We haven't had that big, scary, long, lengthy playmaking receiver in a few years. We've had some great receivers, but none that fit the description that you laid out just a second ago. That really is the scary athlete that Pickens seems to be, man. The catches that he made, just the threats that he showed early on against Vandy, and again, this offense based on running. Also, you have to be a willing blocker, and some freshmen that come in that are wide receivers want to just catch the ball. That's not the way Georgia's set up, and Pickens seems to fit right in with his willingness to get in that box and get nasty. He had a couple blocks on linebackers and safeties trying to fill that were impressive. Along with the other guys, I've seen some blocks from Landers that were equally as impressive, but the playmaking dynamic ability of George Pickens is pretty evident, and I'm excited to see more out of it.
Let me squeeze in one more tiny thing before we let you go. And, John, we always appreciate your time. RT367, our YouTube comment section, was also mentioning, you know, getting guys like Trayvon Walker involved and things like that. John, before we say goodbye to you, I mean, that is part of the value of playing a team like FCS, is that you do get a chance to showcase those guys in a big way. And it's not just Nolan. It's not just Pickens. You know, Walker is potentially kind of an interesting piece in this defense, too. You really saw a lot of young players play for Georgia on Saturday, and that is the kind of thing that's going to be valuable later on this season, correct? Correct.
Yes, the reps that Nicole Dean was getting, the experience that Trayvon gets, not only in special teams, but when he's coming in as that five technique, the head up or shade defensive end role, for a guy who, you know, he's a defensive tackle, going to be 3 years from now when he's a senior or upperclassman junior, that is going to be able to anchor as a three technique and still provide the pass rush. But his athleticism is undeniable, as long as, you know, along with the rest of those guys that have gotten these reps. I love these games, the FCS games, where you get to see, I mean, watching N'Kobe Dean run, you got to be excited about his future. And not only in coverage, but, you know, you can just look at guys on the hoof and say, I can't wait for him to develop and be that playmaker that he seems to have the ability to be one day.
John, it's always great to talk to you here as a part of our program each week, and obviously I'm looking forward to seeing you again on Thursday, the Marlowe's matchup. For folks who haven't checked out our Marlowe's matchup, boy, what a great time we have each and every Thursday. We're also going to be at the Marlowe's and Peachtree Corners coming up two Thursdays from now. It's Thursday, September 19th, previewing the Notre Dame game there that week. So it's 5210 Town Center Boulevard and Peachtree Corners. That's September 19th, starting at 6 p.m. This week, though, will be in our Dog Nation World Headquarters studios. It's the Marlowe's matchup every Thursday. Come on by and see us two Thursdays from now at the Marlowe's and Peachtree Corners, and then every week here on the Dog Nation video channels as well. It's fun to preview the upcoming game with you, John. I look forward to doing that with you again this week.
Yes, sir. It's going
to
be fun.
All right, John. We'll talk to you later on.
All right. Bye, guys.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Yeah, good stuff there with John Stinchcomb. And hope you're watching the Marlowe's matchup. We've gotten great reviews on that. John doing that show with us each and every week. And then a lot of you have been asking. I get this Twitter message a lot. Hey, when are y'all going to be at a Marlowe's Tavern here this season? Our first Marlowe's event of the season is Thursday, September 19th. The Peachtree Corners location. Our first time being at the Marlowe's and Peachtree Corners. This is actually a fairly new Marlowe's there for that neighborhood. So it's one of the best, you know, great neighborhood, great place to be. It's 5210 Town Center Boulevard in Peachtree Corners there at the Marlowe's Tavern on Thursday, September 19th. I am really excited about that. Let me also quickly tell you about my friends at MyBookie. A lot of you have kind of gotten in on that handicapping super contest they've been doing with the NFL. A lot of you have gotten in on some college football stuff there as well. We'll get into some of these games a moment ago, but a lot of palpitations with the folks who had some action down with my bookie here this weekend based on the way that some of these point spreads were kind of working out. Hopefully you got in, got it at a good price, whatever game you might be in on. But nonetheless, if you're thinking about a place to kind of get your action down on game days, my advice to you is my friends at MyBookie, because they're offering a great deal right now for Dog Nation Daily listeners and viewers. You can get up to $1,000 first deposit bonus, or you can double your first deposit there with MyBookie. You just simply type MyBookie, type that into your browser, and then when you get to MyBookie, use the promo code Dog Nation. It's all one word, spelled the way it's supposed to be, D-A-W-G, promo code Dog Nation. Get a big first deposit bonus up to $1,000. You can double it. Good stuff from our friends at MyBookie, but you got to go right now. You play, you win, you get paid after that. But for now, go find MyBookie, MyBookie. Use the promo code DogNation, and then you bet, you win, you get paid. Boy, it doesn't get any easier or better than that. All right, a couple of SEC games to talk about here. I got patted on the back by some of y'all for my thoughts on LSU. Admittedly, I thought the Tigers' defense would play better in Austin than it did, but Joe Burrow is something we've been saying for a while, that Burrow had the look of being a quarterback that was going to be better in 2019 than he had been for more than most of 2018. A lot of people say, well, what made him different last year than Felipe Franks, who was kind of middling statistically but kind of got better as the season went along? Here's the thing about Burrow. Burrow had been at Ohio State before coming to LSU. That's a pretty good cachet for a recruit, which means he had some raw materials. You know, Felipe Franks has never really had the kind of people in his corner vouching for him that Burrow had for his. There are a lot of folks who have told you that, you know, after Haskins was going to be gone, they wanted Burrow to be that next quarterback at Ohio State, but he was going to have to wait longer than he wanted to. That's why he went to LSU. And he's throwing the ball all over the yard right now, utilizing this very talented crop of LSU wide receivers. Defensively, I think the Tigers get better over the course of the season. You can find a way to stop people, but your offense sort of is what it is, and right now what LSU's offense is pretty good. This is a legit contender for everything. They are still my pick to win the SEC West, and you better believe, I think some folks in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, were paying close attention to what LSU did on Saturday night. Not a great defensive showing, but a great win there in Austin, with Texas just dreaming of the whole world, and LSU went out there and took it from them. Pretty impressive. A&M not so lucky going on the road to Clemson. This one was kind of all Tigers. A&M ends up covering the spread, for those of you who care about that. Another game, though, where you don't necessarily see the best of Trevor Lawrence, which I do think is kind of interesting, that through two games, we haven't seen a great Trevor Lawrence performance yet. Now, that's not going to change your opinion on him, but, I mean, we had, you know, knuckleheads in the national media trying to tell us before the season began that this is the greatest quarterback prospect of all time, or whatever weird hyperbole that's been tossed out there. I think even Urban Meyer on one of those Fox broadcasts was potentially guilty of saying that. Clemson may be the best team. Lawrence may be a reason why. But let's stop at the idea that somehow Lawrence is some sort of perfect quarterback. That in a head-to-head matchup with Georgia, that Jake Fromm couldn't outplay him. That in a head-to-head rematch with Alabama, even Tua Tagovailoa couldn't get the best of him this time. You know, this idea that we are static with our rankings of quarterbacks and you know, Lawrence is clearly the best. Tua is clearly the second best. Fromm's no better than third. You know, there is still a lot of fluidity to all of this. So Clemson gets the easy win on Saturday, but not exactly a coronation for Trevor Lawrence Heisman bid. That's at least worth kind of tucking in the back of your mind for right now to see how that changes over the course of the season. Big story, though, may not be either of the two big games. It's probably the fact that Tennessee has lost again, and they did so in ugly fashion. Huge defensive breakdown late in that game where the secondary, you know, finds a real hole, and BYU makes the big pass play that sets up overtime. They go on to win it. I'm obviously shocked that Tennessee didn't bounce back in a better way than they did. Now, they were on their way to a win before this happens, but I thought that Tennessee would be a focused football team. I thought Tennessee would be a determined football team, the kind of team that at least for 1 year would show some fight and try to prove that the Panthers lost, the one they suffered to Georgia State, was not the definition of who this team is. It could just be that Tennessee's incapable of doing this. And this is where it starts to get a little nasty for Pruitt. As I said before, Philip Fulmer is a careerist. You know, Fulmer pushed Johnny Majors out the door at one point in time. He has always been about navigating workplace politics to his benefit and to his advantage. The fact that he hired Pruitt, I don't think that's going to stop him from trying to participate in whatever kind of cloak and dagger measure he has to make sure, like a cockroach, he survives whatever apocalypse is coming to the Tennessee program with Jeremy Pruitt here. I don't think that Pruitt's in danger of losing his job here this season, but as I said last week, his knees have been taken out from under him. For the most part, in terms of his stature as a leader of this program, I think he's essentially been emasculated here. This is the kind of guy that cannot seemingly direct Tennessee to wins. They can be competitive, and they can bring in some recruits, but they can't go out there and finish games with wins. It's a tough situation for Tennessee right now, for sure. A couple other things to get to here. But Nick Saban had an interesting statement going back to his team's win against New Mexico State on Saturday. Obviously, that's an overmatched opponent. Alabama's like a 50-point favorite. And he was asked after the game if this is the kind of game he likes to play, the CC value in play in those games. And Saban kind of comes back and has one of his big-time rants about how they have a hard time getting teams to want to play them. Admittedly, Alabama has followed Georgia's lead with some of its non-conference scheduling for the future. They're scheduling more homes and home and series like that. But for the most part, Saban's been fairly comfortable playing these kinds of games in the past. He has vouched for a 10-game SEC schedule. He says he wants two non-conference games against Power 5 opponents. So he's singing the song now, that being what he wants to do. But kind of an interesting rant when it comes to Nick Saban. And the really bad news for the SEC East continues as Kentucky quarterback Terry Wilson apparently dealing with a pretty big injury here. Wilson, was a guy that I think Kentucky kind of wanted to rally around. And Mark Stoops and Eddie Graham, the offensive coordinator, even though they lost Benny Snell off last year's team, I think they felt pretty good. Kwasi Smoke and others, I think they felt pretty good about some of the offensive talent they've had in place. But the Wilson injury for Kentucky is going to be a pretty serious one. So other than Georgia, Florida gets a week zero win against Miami. There has been a lot of bad news here in the SEC East to start the season. Kentucky, the latest on that, will make that your SEC through. And let me turn my attention back to Georgia here for a moment. Let's do our Heisman hierarchy. It's brought to you by Kroger. And I guess in between, the Georgia guys that we think of as contending for this award right now, DeAndre Swift was the guy that we highlighted in this spot a week ago. He had the better overall statistical game in comparison to Jake Fromm. On Saturday, I think you probably see Fromm kind of emerge in this discussion in a way that probably puts DeAndre Swift towards the backseat. And one of the things that's going to be a challenge for DeAndre Swift's Heisman candidacy is the fact that Georgia right now, and I mentioned this as part of our Dog Nation postgame show on Saturday night, Georgia is pretty successfully and pretty effectively utilizing four running backs right now. You found a way to get some receptions for James Cook. You gave him a couple carries. Brian Herrien and Zamir White, they find the end zone. White for his first time, Herrien for the second time in as many games this season. DeAndre Swift does get two touchdowns, but he's sharing the load right now with a lot of running backs. That means in terms of a Heisman candidacy, that might take a back seat. Swift, to his credit, he's going to be about team success. I don't think he's going to be too worried about that, but to the extent that you pay attention to the Heisman hierarchy here presented by Kroger, Swift probably does take a back seat there in that regard. As far as Fromm goes, what potentially helps him is the emergence of some of these young guys, not just Pickens, who we've talked a lot about, but Dominic Blaylock, who catches a touchdown late in this game, and others. This is kind of an interesting collection of good young talent. Wide at running back is a potential weapon for Fromm to utilize there as well. And so the Heisman candidacy of Fromm, to the extent that it's being propelled, may be being propelled by some of the young offensive talent that's around him right now. In fact, Jake Fromm discussed that after the game on Saturday. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, man, it's awesome, man. Come out, execute the offense, let those guys go in and have experience, because a lot of guys can help our team. They can help the team through practice, pushing the defensive guys and pushing the older guys. And also, you never know when your number's going to be called and who's going to have to play. So it's an opportunity for everybody to go out and get better.
Yeah, indeed it is. An opportunity for everybody to go out there and get better. And on Saturday, that's what some of those young guys did, and they'll help Jake Fromm as he moves towards a Heisman candidacy, hopefully as the season progresses. Our Heisman hierarchy, it's brought to you by our friends at Kroger. And, of course, as we said before, pumpkin flavors are back at Kroger. You can get everything you need on that there this fall, whether it be the pumpkin-flavored coffee or the pumpkins that are on sale. Get decorated for Halloween. Get the entire fall season rolling right there at Kroger. It's great to have them as part of our Heisman hierarchy every Monday here on Dog Nation Daily. All right, let's get ready to wrap things up here as part of Dog Nation Daily here today, and we'll do so in style. Gator Hater Updater, how about 1,045 days? That's how long it's been since those lousy, stinking Gators have beaten the Georgia Bulldogs. A great thing to think about, and certainly an exciting thing to pay close attention to. So good stuff there with the Gator Hater Updater, 1,045 days. Also, stay close here on Dog Nation throughout the week. Kirby Smart Press Conference comes up today. We'll have video coverage of that. So make sure you subscribe to the Dog Nation YouTube page if you have not already. Get subscribed to that, and you'll be ready to go with all the player interviews post-game. Kirby Smart Press Conference here on Monday. And, of course, we said before, we got Marlowe's matchup coming up on Thursday. A lot of really fun stuff throughout the season here. So stay close to DogNation.com, the forum at forum.dognation.com, Dog Nation on YouTube, and, of course, back here tomorrow morning once again for Dog Nation Daily. Y'all have a great day, everybody.